Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 278, the stanzas 1 through 4. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. And what follows, Psalter 278, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Revelation 7. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, and neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard precious and profound things out of thy holy word. A great multitude from among all peoples and from all nations, clothed in white robes, given thee the honor and the glory, and they have come in a place that is a prepared place for prepared people. And then we have heard that there shall be no more tears. Lord, then here below, then there are many tears shed as a consequence of sin. Then the trials, the troubles, and the afflictions, although they are not as we deserve, but they can be so manifold and so great, and they can be so overwhelming. But, O Lord, then it is necessary by the work of thy Holy Spirit that we are also given to shed other tears, tears wrought by the Holy Spirit, tears on account of the character of sin, that we have sinned so grievously and so greatly against such a good doing and a holy and a righteous God. A tear shed on account of that missing. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may thy word be blessed to that end, that thou may grant those tears for the first time, that thou will grant them by renewal, but that thou may also grant to thy people those tears of joy, of rejoicing, and of bewonderment. Lord, work then lovingly in this evening hour. go from bench to bench, from heart to heart, for those that are lawfully hindered when they may list along, from dwelling to dwelling. Leave us not cold, untouched. We are journeying to a never-ending eternity. The first half of this year has quickly run its course. It all preaches unto us that we have no continuing city. It is written, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And then thou granteth this precious day of grace, that we may be given to seek. And it is promised in thy word that those true seekers, that they shall surely become finders. And may those seekers not be satisfied till they have found a pearl of great price. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now thou knowest, Lord, that the natural man, that he is so busy seeking the things here below, and if he is not renewed, then he shall not seek thee, then he is forever undone, ever lost. No place for the multitude with those white robes, but then an other prepared place, that is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. O Lord, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Do then a greater work. Would it not be to thy honor and thy glory, when it would be heard that many boys and girls, many young people, many middle-aged and many elderly have become true seekers, and also when it was heard for many the further leadings in the way of grace, may the prayers be multiplied to that end. Oh, do remember our denomination. All the circumstances are known unto thee. Leave and forsake us not. May there be more wrestling at thy throne of grace. So we commend unto thee the persecuted church, wilt thou continue to uphold. Remember the Jewish people. May the veil be taken away. Remember our mission field, thy servants, the team. And remember the father and mother with their three little children who hope to say farewell and travel to the mission field to learn another language. Oh, wilt thou make it easy for them. We commend unto thee our poor country, the day of yesterday and other birthday. Oh, our country has become so sick, sick of sin, a forsaking of thee, and not a bowing under thy word. The blood of the unborn that crieth to the heavens, the Lord's they desecrated, the seventh commandment not respected. O Lord, wilt thou keep us and our dear children under the old truth and under the old ways. We commend unto thee all the afflicted And this morning hour, a young man was carried out of the sanctuary. Thou was watched over him, taken to the hospital, may return. Then thou wert speaking in a special way, my son, give me thy heart. May this calling be used. We remember the widow who was underwent knee surgery in the past week. Thou was helped a physician, but much pain and discomfort. Well, thou grant healing. Well, thou grant strengthening. And above all, that this calling may be used for the saving of our soul. Then also under these circumstances, that empty place is felt in a special way. We remember those that are struggling with agonizing pain, continual pain, and where it seems no solution, Lord, may it please thee to grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding, and may it be granted when they are so overwhelmed, so discouraged, to say with the psalmist, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Well, thou remember the handicapped ones. Remember the elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, their residents, and those that care for them. Do continue to remember the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, and those that have brought dear ones to the grave. Teach us all to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And when in the family circles, not a single empty place, may we be given to reflect and understand thy loving kindness. And may it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to repentance. Oh, do bless the family circles. May love abound. What has been separated, may it please thee to bring it together. Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy gracious help. We are called to speak of profound and glorious things, of the resurrection, the great day of the resurrection, when the trumpet shall sound, and when we shall all be called to appear before thee. But then also the blessed portion which thy dear Son has merited, those prepared mansions for thy people, may it be our concern that there may also be a mansion for us and for our dear children. That number is not yet complete. Oh, may there be great numbers amongst us that must and shall be brought forth, wrought upon, to become new creatures in Christ Jesus, with those holy desires for thee, for thy service, for thy righteousness. Wilt thou remember all the hearers, help the little boys and the little girls, Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 246, the three stanzas. Oh, teach thou us to count our days and set our hearts on wisdom's ways. Turn, Lord, to us in our distress. In pity now thy servants bless. And what follows, Psalter 246, the three stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 22, the question and answers 57 and 58. Question 57, what comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Question 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I hath not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Lord's Day 22 speaks of the blessings merited by Christ after this life for His church, with two thoughts. First, the resurrection of the body, and secondly, the life everlasting. The blessings merited by Christ after this life for the church. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Beloved congregation, this morning we have spoken of a journey, also of our journey, a destination, and that our journey shall come to an end. And now in this evening, according to God's holy word, then we may consider a haven, a harbor so glorious, because I read in Hebrews 4 verse 9, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. Oh, it is true, here the sea can be very rough, but in Revelation 15, for the church of God and before the throne, I read of a sea of glass. When we consider that ship, then we may also consider the ship of the family circle. And family circles, when in that ship, the immediate family circle, when there is not one empty place, then you have many reasons to acknowledge the Lord. In this day, another family in the church community has been plunged into mourning, namely, the Honeyset family yesterday, and then they have transferred that little Nathaniel to Edmonton, and surgery, heart surgery, is scheduled for Tuesday morning. And in this morning hour, the Lord has taken out of their midst their dear father, Mr. Van Hoof, a deacon from Bonneveld Centrum, who was here with his wife to help take care for the family circle. May the Lord uphold that family and all mourning families in our midst. Then we may also consider the church as a ship. And boys and girls, do you know what some boys and girls do when they become older? Oh, sometime boys and girls, they tell their parents that I shall never leave the church where that old truth is brought. But it happens that there are those when they become older that they do not like it in that ship no more. And then there are two special reasons. They do not like to be warned about their sins. They like to live an easier life. They think they are bound. They think if they jump into the ocean, it shall be better. And the second reason is that they do not like to hear that calling to repentance and the way that the Spirit teaches His people in a way of uncovering and to be saved in the way of free and sovereign grace. When in this Lord's Day, when it speaks of the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting, then the question could be asked, maybe a little puzzled, because in Lord's Day number 19, there we have heard of that great judgment day when everyone, you and I, none excluded, shall be called to appear before the judge, also with our oaths, which we have made. And now when this Lord's Day, it speaks of the resurrection of the body, which shall take place before the judgment, and the life everlasting, which will take place upon the judgment. Then first we were given to consider Christ. And our children, I think they can remember the five ways that the mediator must be known in his names, in his natures, in his offices, his states, and benefits. And then the 12 articles, they have spoken of the five steps of the humiliation of Christ, and then the four steps of his exaltation, and the great judgment day, that is the fourth step of his exaltation, which must still take place. And now in the furtherance of the 12 articles, then there was spoken of the benefits which Christ has merited for his church. And then we have already heard in the last Lord's Day of those benefits of the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, their benefits in this life. And now in Lord's Day number 22, then there is spoken of the benefits which Christ has merited for his people after this life. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Then in this Lord's Day, in both questions, there is asked about that comfort. The question in Lord's Day number 1, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And then further, what is now necessary to know to enjoy this comfort? And then 3 points, that we receive a profound knowledge of our sin, a knowledge of deliverance, and that it is shown in our life in the way of gratitude. And now when we read question 57, what comfort, then it follows question and answers 56. And that speaks about the forgiveness of sins. Thus congregation, then the instructors, they stress that we need to be pardoned. We need Christ has come to save sinners, but we need to become that sinner. And by true saving faith, be given to believe in the Son of God for the pardoning of sins. There can be much in the life of a person. There can be emotion, there can be feelings, there can be a remarkable change, but we need to be a sinner that is saved. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Oh, then there are many that shall have to say, are you included in that number? When I think of death, the resurrection, the judgment, and eternity, then it does not comfort me, but then it makes me afraid. And to that end, many times I try to not think too much about it. Congregation, is that now a solution to try to put it in the distance, in a far distance? And we know not when the day of our death shall be. It is written in God's word that there is only one step between us and death. And therefore, may we be found more on our knees. Ah, tell the Lord how hard our heart is, how busy we are. Oh, ask for that wonder of grace. The command comes unto us and our children, and the Lord has a divine right to repent and to believe. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? and that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head. Thus the instructors, they are given to speak of death. Do you many times think of death, congregation? Do you try to fathom it? We cannot fathom it. We cannot understand it. But do you sometimes think what it shall be to die? And not all people receive a sick bed, can be in the twinkling of an eye, and the body and the soul are separated, and then we appear before the Lord. Also concerning this Lord's day, O come Spirit, the north wind and the south wind. When the Lord begins that good work, then we become exercised with these matters. Then we are given to believe that I also must die. Not only other people. And when the Lord begins that good work, then death comes so close. Oh, how we can become exercised, and that we are given to beg the Lord that we may receive that one thing needful, and that there may also be a mansion for us. That not only my soul after this life is immediately taken up to Christ. Not all religions believe it. Seventh-day Adventists, they say that the soul goes asleep. But we have pure evidence, proof from the scriptures that at our death, that our soul immediately is sent to its eternal destination. In Genesis 35, when Rachel was dying, then it is specifically mentioned that her soul was departing. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, at death, then the body shall return to the earth from whence it was, and the spirit to God who gave it. Think of the thief on the cross, where Christ has said the second crossword, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And Paul has written to the Philippians precious words by the exercise of faith. In chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in verse 23, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. I read in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? Thus in this evening, then we receive the instruction of that one thing needful. In this Lord's Day, it speaks of the blessed portion of the true child of God, but for the unconverted, when death overtakes such a one, and then the soul goes to hell, and then it is forever and ever too late. When we speak of these things, congregation, must we not ask ourselves, I include myself, do we really believe what we profess? Do we really believe that in the week which we have commenced, it shall be the week that we are called to depart out of this life, and then eternity, where there is a beginning and where there shall never be an end? To that end, the necessity, may the prayers be multiplied, that the Lord may do a richer work amongst us and our children. All we have heard out of God's holy word, that John was given to see a great multitude, could not be numbered, with white robes, who were given to praise a triune God, thus young and old, may be declared in this Lord's day, that there is a way to be saved, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. In God's word, there are many references to the resurrection of the body. Job, on the pile of ashes, then he was given to confess, to testify. In John 19, the verses 25 through 27, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my flesh worms destroy my body, yet I shall see God, my eyes shall behold, and not another. In Acts 24, verse 15, there Paul has declared before a multitude that there shall be a resurrection from the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Thus what a graves are waiting for the resurrection of the dead. The billions upon the earth, it is all waiting for the end. And boys and girls, then I am sure that you know when that day shall be. No, not the year, not the day, and not the hour, but when shall that trumpet sound that shall be heard over the whole earth? That shall be when the last boy or girl, man or woman, is converted by the Lord. Thus that tells us, then no one in this evening can say, but it cannot be for me, that we do not find in the Bible, oh, the grace in Christ Jesus is all sufficient. What a callings and what an invitations. And never in the Bible we read that a poor, a needy, an undone sinner has been turned away. Concerning the last resurrection, then Christ has spoken of the signs of the times, that there shall be a great falling away, many false Christs. In Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What a blessing when by the common goodness of the Lord that love may abound in the family circles. There shall be earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars. There shall be much false religion and congregation when we see everything that has taken place upon the earth, the great falling away. Should there then not be a hastening for our life's sake? I read in God's word that the day of the resurrection, that it shall come as a thief in the night. One side of the world shall be day, the other side of the earth, it shall be night. And then we shall hear the trumpet, and then the living shall be called. But then the cemeteries, also our cemetery, then all those graves shall be opened, and all the dead shall arise. We read that the sea, because many ships have sunk, and in the earlier days, when there were deaths on the ship, they were thrown overboard. But then the sea shall give up their dead. Is that possible? I read in God's word that without the Lord nothing is impossible. The Lord who has created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, the Lord who by his irresistible grace makes a dead sinner alive, as we have heard on the day of Pentecost, those dry bones also an emblem of the resurrection, then it shall be by his almighty power that the great multitudes that have went the way of all flesh, that they shall be raised, and it shall be with the same bodies, because otherwise it would not be a resurrection, and the justice of God requires that those bodies which Christ has purchased with his blood, that they must arise. And then we read, they shall be reunited with their souls. Thomas Boston, in his fourfold state, then he has written so profoundly over the resurrection of the dead. And then he has spoken of what a meeting that shall be between the body and the soul. And then he has spoken of the meeting of the body and soul for God's people, and that it shall be a great rejoicing where the soul was united with the body before their birth, where the Lord has wrought so wonderfully, and where the soul was in heaven, but without a body. And what a rejoicing, what a meeting it shall be when both body and soul may be reunited, and then to be given to forever praise the Lord. But then he has also spoken concerning the unconverted, what a meeting it shall be for their body and soul, accusing one another that they have been the instruments that each is going lost, all young and old. When we consider this Lord's Day, the blessings which Christ has merited for his church, may it arouse to a holy jealousy. Oh, surely on the day of the resurrection, then it shall be fulfilled what the apostle has written in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Our second thought, the life everlasting, but let us first sing. Psalter 28, the 5 stanzas. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord my God. And what follows, Psalter 28, the 5 stanzas. Thank you. the blessings merited by Christ after this life for his church, the resurrection of the body, and now secondly, the life everlasting. And who is now that life everlasting for? Then our boys and girls, they shall tell me, that is for God's people. And that is a good answer. But now the question is, who are now God's people? Has that ever become our question? Because when the Lord works, then we are given to closely search God's word, whether we may find marks, evidences in our heart, that we find in the scriptures. And to that end, our instructors, they have begun to answer, what comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. Thus the instructors are telling us, based upon God's word, that everlasting life that actually begins here below for the true child of God. Because by his grace, they are given to taste of the good things of the Lord. And then the instructors have said that since I now feel in my heart, thus they do not only speak of a confession, but that we experience it in our heart. And then we read the beginning of eternal joy. Thus that tells us, congregation, the blessedness of the service of the Lord, that it gives a sweetness and a joy that cannot be found in the things here below. Oh, it is true. The Lord granteth many precious things that we may enjoy. But concerning all the things here below, and then there can come the thought, only for a time, for a short time, and then it shall soon be gone. But now the instructor gives a mark. Feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. And what are they now given to joy in? Oh, already. When the dove in the cleft of the rock may be a mourner, when they may experience those special evidences of the Lord's favor, when the Lord hears their humble prayer, but more so, when the gospel may be opened and they may be given to see that there is pardon for such a sinner as I am, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin. Thus a beginning, only a small beginning. Do we have that small beginning, congregation? That is so needful. And for that people, that after this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation. And then there is quoted out of 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and I there have entered into the heart of men to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. That is now the beginning of that joy. Then the true child may be in their element with what they receive, that they may be given to exalt the Lord to the highest. And now what the Lord has prepared for his people. Then the Bible many times speaks in similitudes, using natural things to express the glory for the people of God and for that prepared place for prepared people. Oh, hear then that people have given heed to the invitations of God's word. Oh, it is true, many times they have come a trembling, many questions, many riddles, but they have given heed and they have come. And on the great day of judgment, then we read of that blessed invitation in Matthew 25, verse 34, come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what a glorious place is prepared for that people. Then there are many names, paradise restored, a new heaven, a new earth. They shall be before the throne. And then further, the company. Who shall the company be for the saints in heaven? Then it shall be in the presence, the throne, a triune God. Shall be the holy angels. It shall be the saints. And then the question sometimes is asked, in heaven, shall God's people now know one another? We have proof thereof that they shall. On the mountain of transfiguration, in Matthew 17, then the disciples have recognized Elijah and Moses. And we read in the scriptures that God's true people, that they shall sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, what that shall be. The meeting of all the saints. And then, perfect harmony. Here there can be squabbles. There are squabbles. Think of Paul and Barnabas on the second missionary journey. But there it shall be perfect peace, unified, a bowing, a worshiping, and then further, it shall be a perfect deliverance, then for body and soul. Of course, for those that have died before the great day of judgment, then they are already delivered, because Job has said in Job 3, verse 17, there the weary shall be at rest, and the wicked shall cease from troubling. And those that are changed in the twinkling of an eye, then corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and mortality shall put on immortality, then they shall be delivered. from that sinful self, from the flesh, from that alluring and tempting world, and from an angry devil. Then they shall be perfectly free. And then further, we have read out of Revelation 7 that they shall be clothed with white robes. That is a clothing of purity. They tell us in the Roman Empire, when a prisoner was set legally free, then he has received a white garment. And then it is also a garment of feasting. Oh, their occupation. Then the high praises of the Lord shall be in their mouth. And then their condition. No crippled Jacob. No Leah that desired the love of her husband. No Eli with two wicked sons. No son of the Shunammite that shall say my head. No weeping Jeremiah, but I read in the scriptures that none shall say they are sick. No pain, and all tears shall be wiped away from their eyes, O young and old. May it arouse to a jealousy. May it bring us on our knees. May we be given to beg, Lord. There is such a glorious place. And, of course, for God's people, goes not in the first place about heaven, but it goes about the God in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. And now concerning the portion of God's people, for all shall be perfection. But Paul has spoken in 1 Corinthians 15 of a different glory, of the stars and of the sun. And to that end, oh, the calling, people of God, have you read it in the meditation in the church news by J.C. Philpott from Titus 2 verse 14, a peculiar people, zealous of good works, and that he was given to speak of a people that were so content with their lazy duties and not so zealous to undo their profession with a godly, a holy, a consistent life to bring that desired peace and that God may be glorified, the blessed portion of the people of God. And if we do not belong to that people congregation, then there is also a place cannot be fathomed, cannot be described, how terrible it shall be. And to that end, the Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians 5, the verses 10 and 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, And in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. And in verse 20, as ambassadors of Christ, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I read in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, concerning that true people, happy art thou, O Israel, who was like unto thee saved by the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to describe, who was able to fathom the goods thou wast prepared and laid away for the true people of God, Lord, we humbly ask thee, may that number be increased in our midst. Wilt thou grant meditations and what we have heard in this day, may it be turned into prayer. May we begin to pray more fervently. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We may commence another week. Remember the mothers in the home with the children. Remember at work wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou bring the congregation together for a weekday service. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to our youth toward the end of this week. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings and pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 103, the four stanzas, Lord, in thee am I confiding. Thou wilt answer when I call, lest my foes the goody riding triumph and thy servants fall. And what follows, Psalter 103, the four stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.